Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for the privilege we have this morning of gathering here in order to continue our pursuit of your immutable truth. We thank you for the grace that you provide for us on a daily basis, and we signify that grace through giving. As we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior, amen. In order to prepare for our study this morning, it is customary for us to pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for yet another opportunity to gather here and to continue our pursuit of your truth. It's our prayer that what we do here this morning will contribute to the advance. As we lift our prayer, in Christ's name, amen. Been on a road trip, one of those wild and woolly road trips in an airplane. I hate airplanes. All these people were on there, and it was full. Nevertheless, we got on out at this, we have an airport here, and we got in there. And we flew down to Houston, Texas, landed at one of their airports down there. Got in one of those other kind of things that you have to rent. And then we went down to our hotel. I call it a hotel, it's really not. A pleasure palace of some kind. It covers acres, woods, all kinds of things go on there. And buried in the midst of all of that was a room that Johanna and I had to sleep in. And Gary and Laura were with us, and they had another room somewhere that they slept in. But Gary goes down there. This is called high cotton, by the way. Ordinary folk don't go to these places. But we unordinary people were there. And so we were there simply to have an engagement at Baraka Church, which I consider to be the high ground. I was down there a little over 8 years. That is followed my announcement to Joe Henry one day as she was rocking a lap baby number 3 in her lap. And I said, I've decided that we're going to move to Houston. And I would expect her to say, have you lost your mind? And what she said to me was, why did this take you so long? And I said, well, I just got around to thinking about it. So we pulled up stakes and went down there. I had a number of jobs that I had, varied and sundry, trying to feed everybody. There were 5 of us, and attended Baraka Church every time they opened the doors that I didn't still have a job. There were jobs I had that kept me on some occasions to be late for Bible class, and that means you sit in the back rooms. Nevertheless, it was an experience because the reason I went there was to try out for pastor. You can try out all you want to. You go to Bible class and you, on every occasion, the colonel would put the Greek and the Hebrew up on the board. That's the major reason I wanted to go. I wanted to learn about the original languages. And, of course, it depended on what half of the Bible he was in, you were studying one or the other. And so my strategy was to stay quiet and show up. And then one day I said to a guy, I'd like to try out for pastor. What do I need to do? And he says, I'll get you a doctrinal questionnaire and you'll have to answer it. I said, fine. So he brought it to me in the next day or two. And I started on the process of answering the questions of a theological bent, of course. And I got that all done and handed it in. And the colonel didn't have a ordination kind of a thing for several years. And then I got a call from John Smith saying that they'd run out of pastors up here and want to know if I would drive down there and do some preaching. And I said, well, why don't I come up there and do a tryout and y'all can decide. So I did that. And for some reason, they decided. And so in January of 1985, I taught my first Bible class in what then was St. Louis County at the half court of a gymnasium in a pulpit. And therefore, I was decreed to be the new pastor. I want to tell you that it was wonderful to be back at Baraka. That is the high ground of systematic theology, in my opinion. And even at Baraka Church, I'll say this as a parenthesis, even at Baraka Church, over the course of the Operation COVID, there's shrinkage at Baraka Church. There's shrinkage at churches all across the land. The reasons I can't tell you other than they got used to staying home. They got used to staying home, and therefore, through electronic contrivances available, they could just sit there with their coffee and rock back and forth in a chair and listen to Bible class. So that's the zeitgeist in which we live now. I was privileged, along with Gary, to be invited to sit up on the rostrum where Bobby Thieme has taken over for the colonel as pastor of Baraka Church. I understand that when the colonel retired, that they needed a new pastor. And since Bobby was hanging around, they asked him that he be a fill-in until they could figure out, meaning the deacons, a fill-in until they could decide who to hire. And so they had some people come in, and they got up and bloviated for some period of time. And then they would ride off into the sunset, and then the deacons would have a meeting and say, I don't like that guy, so let's try to get somebody else. And they did this for a while Bobby is filling in for his dad. And finally it dawned on somebody, he seems to be doing pretty good. Why don't we give him a shot? And so they did that, and he became the next PT of Baraka Church. And therefore, he found himself not as a fill-in, but the successive pastor of Baraka Church, which is the high ground of systematic theology. And we being me and Gary and I, that's Miss Hewitt, you would insist, it's Gary and I were up on the rostrum with him before Bible classes, which was a privilege to do. And I just want to tell you, he was very kind to me, Bobby was. Before Bible class started, he bloviated. It went on and on about how I had been at Baraka Church and done this, that, and the other thing and been ordained there, and on he went. And it made it sound like that I was somebody. And so I thought that was very nice of him to do that. But he did go through the routine of giving a little information about how it all started for me down there and how I was ordained there and all that kind of thing went on. He was very kind to me. And was the entire time we were down there. Someone just told me that they knew that Gary and I were up on the rostrum, but on a tight shot, they just want to show Bobby, whoever's the pastor, is Bobby. And they were saying that they knew that I was up there because they could see my shoulder. So I'm thinking it was my right shoulder. And so, nevertheless, if you wondered who the right shoulder was, it was just me. But you see, I'm used to being edited. So, nevertheless, we had a grand time down there. But I do want to say that Bobby was very kind to me, and I think he bloviated a little bit about me, which is, you know, what are you going to say? I'm sitting there. But he did bloviate about me, and the bloviations had to do with the fact that I've been at this come January of 25, will be 40 years of boring people in this church. And so that's a fact. You've got about 3 or 4 more months to put up with me if you don't fire me ahead of time. But sometime post January of 25, along, I can't predict when the last Bible class will be. I've got in my mind, I've got to finish James. That will occur if I hear another 4 years. But we're going to finish James. And then I want to do a special on anti-Semitism. We need to put that out in the ether and let people see the horror show that is presently going on in client nation America. We are a client nation, but when any client nation decides to go south and therefore log on to concepts that are evil and therefore not only evil but anti-Semitic, then we've got big trouble as a client nation. Therefore, we as a nation are suffering from anti-Semitism. It didn't happen overnight. It was infused into academia over the last century. It all started with the Frankfurt School that came across the Atlantic Ocean and got settled in academia in the United States of America. There were a number of players in that concept, but it also gravitated up to Columbia University, the sinkhole of hell. And that's where it all started. And graduates out of the sinkhole therefore spewed out into the pulpits of America and began to propagandize the congregations they inherited. And now we see what's going on, that Lucifer has belched upon the client nation. And they are in the streets creating chaos, and the current administration has nothing to say about it except to support it. A client nation has many reasons that it falls. But when the major reason of the fall has to do with anti-Semitism, you're right in the heart of hell. And that client nation cannot survive. I was supposed to wear my Alabama red blazer today because Gary stole my suit. So I put on the blazer and decided, I don't feel like red today. I'm going to stand in this pulpit and teach Bible class. But red is what I usually wear when Alabama wins a football game. I'm in black today because of what's going on in client nation America. I've got a little blue, trying to lighten up a little thing. But we've got big problems in this client nation. And as I look across this congregation, when we opened up this building X number of years ago, we looked at the seats and wondered if there would be enough seats, even counting behind in the aquarium back there, if there was enough to hold the people. We could do this in a major league closet. Where have the people gone? Is it me? A little late on the get-go there. I've been here for almost 40 years. So you're slow on the uptake. Where are they? Where are they at Baraka Church? Where are they at the other congregations strewn across the landscape? Where is Christianity? Where are the little darlings raging in the streets as newly spawned anti-Semitics? Client nation cannot endure this. So as I come back from Houston, we had a wonderful time. Bobby was very gracious to me and to Gary. We had a fabulous time down there. I liked going back to the high ground. I liked going back to Sage Road in West Alabama. Two blocks down the street on West Alabama is where Joe Hunt and I spent those 8 years, approximately. We could walk to church. And therefore, our children were in prep school there. It was a wonderful time, but the 8+ years we were there enabled me to accumulate face-to-face with R.B. Thieme Jr. the idiosyncrasies of exegesis from the original languages. To me, a pastor's not doing his job unless he starts in his study and opening the Bible with all of his accumulated literature. And go, if it's in the Old Testament, start with the Hebrew. If it's in the New Testament, start with the Koine Greek and put it in the notes. So I can point to you, even here, I can point to you and say, that's absolute truth. If it's an imperative mood and it's negative, that's something you do not do. If it's an imperative mood and it's positive, you need to adopt that policy. And I point that out to you, and you look at this is a Koine Greek in James 5:13 on page 263, where if I'll shut up in a minute, that's where we'll start. Look at those words. It doesn't matter whether you can pronounce them or not. Look at them. That's the truth. What does it say here? Kagapathia. What does that mean? Is anyone here suffering adversity? Are you suffering adversity? That's what's being posed by James. Present middle imperative, mood number 49 of the verb prosukamai. And on it goes. That's the truth. And I want you to see that. It doesn't matter whether you can pronounce them or not. That's not the point. You see the original right there. What does it mean? I'll tell you what it means. It therefore becomes an absolute if you are able to memorize things. What's the absolute here? Is anyone among you suffering adversity? Keep on offering prayer. So that's a mandate to pray. That's the present middle imperative mood, number 49. Number 49 of the letter of James. Prosukamai. Is anyone ecstatic? That's a present active indicative of the verb ethumeo. Ethumeo means to have a cheerful mind. Keep on singing. See, we had some tunes a while ago. Keep on doing that. So that he waves his arms around to try to keep time with y'all, and y'all try to keep time with him. Present middle command number 50 of the verb solo. What does solo mean? It has to do with psalms. It's a plural. See, psalmoi, that's plural of psalms. Sing psalms. Present middle command, some imperative mood to sing psalms. You see that? Would you know that otherwise? So we'll get around to doing James here in a minute, but I'm not through bloviating. I hadn't been back to Baraka since the colonel's eulogy. Why? I have a job here. The job here has me sit in the basement of my house every day trying to piece this together. And then I come over here and bloviate, and then I go back and start again for the next time. Over 39 years of that, I'm not complaining. That's the job. I don't have that. I do not have nor do I want other things to interrupt that process. And so I have my hole, and I go down in the hole, and I sit there till I get it done, and I feel like I can get up and go to bed and come over here and teach. And I made it to bed last night around 1 o'clock. Ish. And that's okay. I'm just telling you, you stay there till you're happy that you've gotten it done. Just the way you want it. So that when I come up here, I can't blush and say, you know, I just felt bad last night and I wanted to watch a football game. No, we don't have those anymore. A baseball game and that kind of thing. it's hard for me to watch baseball now. Hard. But I want to, before I go on, I want to say that Bobby and the deacons and the people of Baraka Church were tremendous hosts. And it was great to be back at the high ground. All right. Since I'm back, my job is to pick up where I left off. Since I've been gone for a while, I decided to go back to the last expanded translation of James 5 that we noted sometime last month. Here's how it reads, and I've just also been through this, but this is the expanded translation, the last one that we observed. Is anyone among you suffering adversity? See, there's going to be a question mark at the end of that. It's present active indicative of the verb kakapatheo. So let's see the question mark. Are you suffering adversity? Keep on offering prayer. Present middle imperative of imperative mood number 49 of the verb prosukamai. And prosukamai is anyone ecstatic, present active indicative of the verb ethumeo. Be of a cheerful mind. Huh? Be of a cheerful mind. Can you do that in the chaos of cosmos diabolicus? Yes, you can. Keep on singing. What do you sing? Present middle command, imperative mood number 50 of Salo. That means the Psalms. And with those Psalms, you sing praises. Psalmos. Close the parenthesis. That leads us back to where we left off. On the 23rd. Okay? So I wanted to go through that and let you know where we are in our studies. So we've done James 5:13. Now what we want to do is flip a little bit and go through some pages, and we get over to where we left off last time, and that takes us to the New American Standard of James 5:16, which we noted in our last Bible class. And that takes us to page 268, where we are today. Now, I want you to take a look at James 5:16, New American Standard, on page 266. What do we have there? Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. That's the New American Standard. So we got the New American Standard that we've observed. Then we can go on page 267 and note the expanded translation of that verse, at least the first part of it. Repentant reversionists acknowledge, therefore, the sin to another fellow believer, that is, the victimized pastor teacher, and offer prayer on behalf of the repentant reversionist that you may be healed. Well, we got that in the concept. How do we go from there? That's where we are in our study. So that's sort of a review of where we were when I took some time off. So let's note some points here under the so far expanded translation of verse 16. The verse continues with the sentence, quote, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Okay, what does that mean? The effective prayer. What would be an effective prayer? First of all, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the Holy Spirit will give you guidance on concepts and ideas biblically of how to associate these concepts to this particular verse and its environs in the chapter. The verse continues with the sentence, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The word effective is the present passive participle of the verb energeo. This brings us to a poorly mistranslated and consequently misunderstood phrase. Here's how it reads. Polus is quo deesis dikaos energeo. And that is translated, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. That's how you translate all of that. Notice the first word is polus. The word there in the beginning of that sentence, the word there is much, polus, which is the very first word in this sentence. You will also notice that it is the last word translated. So much is the last word, but much leads it off. So you've got to ask the question, why they put much first when it's last? And why is it last when it ought to be first? And on it goes. So who translated this? Brits. King Jimmy the First. King Jimmy said, we need to have an update on the Bible in English. Well, this is in the 1600s. If you've ever, I had to take literature when I was in high school, and I'm sure you did too. And you get around to going to some of these things that were written way back yonder in the 1600s. And there are a lot of ifs and all that business going on. And King Jimmy wanted a group of men, somewhere around 50 to 60 of them, to scatter themselves abroad throughout England and try to get an authorized version of the Bible, both Hebrew and Greek. And he scattered them out, and they would meet in their certain places, and then they would discuss how we're going to bring this into the flowing diction of the ifs and ands of 16th century England. And that's where we got the King Jimmy Version. Have you ever studied the Bible in the English of the Old Testament efforts? When I say Old Testament, I'm talking about the old Bible evaluations in King Jimmy English. You can break your tongue saying some of those things. There were some updates in English, because that's what we speak. Now listen to this. What if all the Bibles were printed half and half? The Old Testament is going to be printed in Hebrew, and the New Testament is going to be printed in Koine Greek, and everybody gets a Bible. And you sit down to do your Bible study. Okay, I don't have a Bible up here with me. You sit down to do your Bible study. I used to have a shelf here that held Bibles, but somebody stole my shelf. But on occasion, I had a Bible up here, and we could flop that thing open, and I could lie it down right up here and say, or hold it up and say, look here. Can you see that? And have it be at a King James Version. Sometimes you can break your tongue with the words that end in a TH. King Jimmy. So what do we have here? Polus is quo deesis dikaos energeo. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. What is much? Polus. That's the first word. Well, you're not as much impressed with that as I am. Let's start with polus in the Greek translation above. Palus iscuo diesis dikaos energeo. Palus is a nominative neuter singular meaning much. It is correctly translated, but it is way out of place. Here is the vocabulary form, palus. It means much. It is at the beginning of the sentence. You have the whole sentence down now. Get the sentence. Get the sentence. Palus is quo deesis dikaos energeo. Now, palus means much. You will notice in your English Bibles, much, palus, comes at the end of the sentence. And it should come at the first. Palus is now how it begins, not how it ends. Now, why am I making a big deal about this? Because the guys that accumulated in England to do the King James Version put it at the very end of the sentence when it's the first word. And your question is, why do we care? Well, it's not that we care a whole lot. It's that that is a good example of the mess the King James Version is in English. So you got to straighten that out. Palus means much. So we've got that nailed down. We have much palus. Now the next word is iscuo, which is the present active indicative. Iscuo means to have power. With power, it means to have much power. But how much power? So far, we have some power, but how much? We do not yet. We don't know yet, but the principle states that something has much power. Something does. Next, we have deesis, the nominative singular of prayer, though that is correctly translated. Deesis is a vocabulary form. Since it is in the nominative case is always the subject of the verb. Therefore, the subject of the verb is said to have much power. Okay, the Word of God is alive and powerful. That which has much power is prayer. Deesis. It's a deesis is the way it's pronounced. The accent is on the epsilon, not the eta. The eta gets an a, long A sound in Greek. It's deesis. It is prayer that has much power. We are developing a sentence that provides discernible working objects. All right. So far, prayer has confirmed that it has much power. However, the prayer component must be qualified. Now let's talk about prayer. Mechanics of answered prayer. Now you have to pretend that you can go back in eternity past. Can you do that? Anyone? We're in the church age and that's time. But there are things that go on from eternity past to time. Eternity past is before time. There's no time in eternity. It is forever. So you have forever and then we have time. And time ticks, 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 ticks by. And you can look back in time and see things happen here, here, and there. And then there's going to be things that happen over yonder, and it's going to be in future time. You got that? So time is moving on. Eternity does not. It's always eternal. So let's take a look at eternity past. God's omniscience perceives every thought, decision, and action, every circumstance and event of human history. Also included are our prayers. You going to buy into that? This is eternity past. This is before the universe. This is before he invented the whole solar system. He knew in eternity past. How does God know this? Because he's omniscient. He's not limited by time. He knows who you were way before you ever even were a gleam in your parents' eye. And therefore he knew about you, knew what you'd think, and knew what you would pray. That's just eternity past. Then we have a line drawn. Everything to the right-hand side of the line is time. That's the church age. You got to divide it up into dispensations, but we want to move along to the church age. Events that results in a prayer for the person affected. What is the event? It varies with the individual. It's this dude right here because he's going to pray about it. So then three, prayer expressed to the Father in time. You can be praying in eternity past. You're not there. Prayer processed by the Father in time. Here you are in time praying. He knows you're going to pray in time, and then you kick back the prayer processed by the Father in time. He's going to process it. He knows about it, but then he's got to process it, right? Can't process what hadn't happened, although he knows it. See, God knows all that's knowable. So therefore, we in eternity past, you can pull us all the way back. The prayer is processed by the Father in time, and therefore, the big arrow through the church age, the prayer answered in time from the divine decree expressing the will of God. Now, therefore, that should tell you how powerful your prayers are. God knew it in eternity past, and therefore, he is going to effect it in time. Knew it in eternity past, even before you were a glimmer in somebody's eye. And that's prayer. And what is that? It is a communication principle, a communication system that God is able to organize for us, knowing in eternity past that prayer would be voiced in time. And therefore, we pull that blue line over. It's answered in time from the divine decree expressing the will of God in that answer. Therefore, when you have a visual like this, and I worked on this a long time in order to correlate the eternity factor of God and the time factor of the human being. God knew your prayer in eternity past. He can't answer it until the prayer is voiced in time. Got that? And then once the prayer is voiced, then it comes all the way back through eternity past into time and answered in time from the divine decree. The divine decree knows all that's knowable and expresses the will of God. So when you're doing some praying, you know that God knew what you were going to pray before you prayed. I know, someone will say, let's have a prayer meeting. Everybody, all you do, women are not allowed. I'm making this up on the fly, okay? Women, the reason is in the Baptist church, the men would go have a prayer meeting and the women would go to have a prayer meeting, okay? And I learned the women took a long time with their praying. And the men would have like two sentences and that would be it because they got around to business in a hurry. When they got what they wanted to say said, they shut up and sat down. The other guy had a chance. It's time. That's where we are. And we don't get around to praying until at some point in time to pray for something that God knew about in eternity past and already, with all of his omniscience, knew precisely how to deal with that and then does. And you say, thank you, Jesus. All right. I'll leave that up for a minute. Cogitate. So far, prayer has confirmed that it has much power. However, the prayer component must be qualified. So the prayer factor refers to a certain kind of believer And the qualifying word is the genitive singular of dikaios. And dikaios means a righteous one, which in context refers to a believer who is in fellowship, but also with some spiritual growth. In context, the person referred to as the pastor teacher who is the one who has been victimized. That's in our context. But who is described as having much power. Ergo, the prayer of a righteous believer has much power. Or what does righteousness mean? You have the righteousness concept, but it has to be accessed under the filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay. You can underline much. Go back to our verse here. The much concept is at the end of the translation in the New American Standard, but it is the first word in the verse as far as the Greek is concerned. So you underline much because it is the first word in the text. And when a word is put in the beginning of the sentence, it receives emphasis. Much emphasizes. We could actually translate it has extreme power. Now, this principle applies to a nation in reversionism. The power of prayer enables a nation under reversionism to recover and appropriate presently. So things that were known by God in eternity past are appropriated in time. There is one word not translated as the present middle participle of energeo. Energeo means to put something into operation. So you get the word energy out of that. Put it into operation. Present participle can be legitimately translated, quote, when a prayer of a righteous believer has much power when it is operational. The prayer has to be operational. When a prayer of a righteous believer has much power when it is operational, the power has to be operational, and in this context, through prayer. So it's operational. So far, we have had three such occasions. The first was in verse 13, when a believer who is approaching super grace is under great pressure and suffering adversity. His prayer is operational and powerful. Is any afflicted, let him pray. Secondly, when a pastor teacher is called in for a dying believer who is dying to sin unto death, he is in reversionism. The pastor teacher's prayer as a super grace type is operational and effective. This man is not only healed, but his sins are forgiven, and he is now on the road to recovery by means of the edification complex of the soul. Okay, some pictures again. Well, I thought I had an edification complex. But nevertheless, here's what I want to do with our expanded translation. Remember we started with James 5:13, okay? And then we have 14, 15, and 16. Now, this is a package here. Now, I want to go through this. You'll note in verse 29, his sins have been forgiven, his health is back. The third illustration is when the pastor teacher is the victim. At this time, it is a reversionist who is practicing reverse process reversionism. He prays for the person in his illness. His sins are forgiven. He is healed, and again, he is able to resume his daily study. You can recover from messing up. Now, this is the expanded translation of this text in these four verses. We're going to open a parenthesis. Is anyone among you suffering adversity? Present active indicative of the verb kakapatheo. That's a question. Is anyone? Keep on offering prayer. Present middle imperative mood number 49 of the verb prasukamai. Offering prayer. Is anyone ecstatic, present active indicative of the verb euthymeo, to be of a cheerful mind, Keep on singing. Present middle command, imperative mood number 50 of the verb solo, to sing. To sing what? Praises, namely psalms. Now, psalmoi is plural of psalms. Close the parenthesis. Then verse 14. Is anyone among you, reversion is sick, because he's suffering from fatal disease? Then he must call. Aorist middle imperative mood number 51 of the verb proskaleo. Must call to himself the pastor teacher. Presbyteros. Call to himself the pastor teacher from the church to begin praying. You want the PT to come to your bedside and start a prayer. Aorist middle imperative mood number 52 of the verb prosukomai. Begin praying over him while being massaged. Get that? I didn't make this up. A massage. We do need to read on. Aorist active participle of the verb alipho. Massage with oil in the name of the Lord. That's an MD. In context, we have a medical professional coming in to treat this guy. Now, before we go on, you need to understand that this guy is sick because of the way he thinks. You can think yourself into illness. You can think yourself into a condition that is terminal. Some people die because of the way they think. And they keep thinking it. And then other things intervene. New ideas pop up. I used to think this, but more so I think this also. And now that I've thought the also, I'm sure there are other things that will pop up before long, and I can add that to my list of things I'm upset about. And there are people that I hope die in a fire in the process. That's what we've got here. It is the way you think that is infused in these verses. You can have a grin on your face. You can go to a family reunion. Aunt Margaret, how are you? Hope you die in a fire. And you can get through the family reunion calling everybody out and giving them names. And as you ride, the taillights are fading over the horizon, and everybody's saying, he's such a nice guy. And he did all that in the name of the Lord. And the prayer from the source of the doctrinal one, in this case, the doctrinal pastor teacher, shall deliver the hopelessly sick one, the dying reversionist, and the Lord shall restore him to health. And if he has produced permanent sin, they, the sins which he has produced, shall be forgiven by the Lord. This is Operation Pull His Fat Out of the Fire. Verse 16, therefore, repentant reversionist. See, repentant. Acknowledge. Present middle imperative mood number 53, the verb ex homologeo. What does ex homologeo mean? It means to acknowledge something. Acknowledge the sin to one another and offer prayer. Present middle imperative mood number 53 of the verb ekamai. Prayer, pray on behalf of another, the victim and fellow believer, that is the pastor teacher, that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous believer has much power when it is operational. Now, you don't get that in the King Jimmy. But there it is. And this is a package deal here. It has to do with prayer. And we go back to this right here. This is the system. This is how it all plays out in this particular text in James. Now, this is the first effort in Koine Greek of the New Testament. And this is what James is trying to communicate when he gets down to chapter 5, which is right smack dab in the middle of chapter 5, which is the last chapter of the verse. And he's calling all of these people out. He's living in Jerusalem, and therefore he's a Jew, and he knows some Jews. He's a Christian now. He's believed that Jesus is the Mashiach, the Messiah. And so he is paying rent to a bunch of Jews who have a synagogue, and they meet there on Saturdays. And he's got a deal with them, and they get to go in on Sundays and listen to him bloviate. Here's what he's finally talking about when he finally gets down to the middle of chapter 5. Now let me see where I left off. I was at James 5:13. Now I want to go back to my stuff here. Here it is. Go back. You don't have to go back if you don't want to. But on James 5:27, 263, that's where we introduced the parenthesis. Open parenthesis. Is anyone among you suffering adversity? Well, a lot of people can suffer adversity. That's present active indicative of kaka patheo. And that's a question. Keep on offering prayer. See, that goes right over here to the top level here. Keep on offering prayer. And we have an imperative mood there. Prosukamai. Is anyone ecstatic? Present active indicative of the verb euthymeo. To have a cheerful mind. Keep on singing psalms and so on. We've got all this flowing together, and then it comes out as this package deal here on the board. There's a lot going on in these four verses. So we have on page 268 where we've entered into what our study is going to be today. Now, I want to do this. I want to reiterate what we've got going on in point 16. What we're taking a look at is the text in Greek at the top of the page on page 268. The prayer, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. See, much here is polis, which is the first word in the sentence. And you're going to ask me, why do you care about this? I care about it because what's at the first of the sentence sets up everything that follows, yet it's the last word in the expanded translation from the King James New American Standard. It's backwards. So, polis means much. You will notice in your English Bibles, much, polus, comes at the end of the sentence, and it should be at the first. And it's how it begins and not how it ends. Now, the next word is the verb, is kuo, which is the present active indicative. Iskuo means to have power. With power, it means to have much power. But how much power? So far, we have some power. But how much? And we don't know yet. But the principle states that something has much power. Next, we have deesis, nominative singular of prayer, though that is correctly translated. So we have deesis is the vocabulary form. Since it is in the nominative case is always the subject of the verb. Therefore, The subject of the verb is said to have much power. That which has much power is prayer. Deesis. It is prayer that has the power. We are developing a sentence that provides a discernible working object. And that's got a smack dab in the middle of this verse. So far, prayer has confirmed that it has much power. However, the prayer component must be qualified. So the mechanics of answered prayer follow. And we've just noted that. The prayer factor refers to a certain kind of believer, and the qualifying word is the genitive singular of dikaios. And dikaios means a righteous one, which in context refers to a believer who is in fellowship, but also with some spiritual growth. You could conjure up the idea of this guy seems to know how to pray. In context, the person referred to is the pastor teacher, who is the one who has been victimized, but who is described as having much power. Why? Because he has the doctrine to know how to pray effectively. Ergo, the prayer of a righteous believer has much power. Who's that guy? The pastor teacher. Who's sick? The guy who's thought himself into bed. They call him in because he's the pastor teacher. He's the stud muffin. He's there because he can save the guy's life. Got that? In context. You can underline much because it is the first word in the text. When a word is put in the beginning of the sentence, it receives emphasis. We could actually translate, he has extreme power. Now, this principle applies to a nation in reversionism. The power of prayer enables the nation under reversionism to recover and appropriate presently. Well, this is a good place to stop. I've gone about 3 minutes long, so we'll come back at the usual time of 10 till the hour. It is now time for tea and crumpets.